St. John, and you're not listening to Crimes and Treasons. It's lit.
Hey, I know who it is, man. It's your boy, Sahad the Prince.
Yo, what up, though? This is Ill Tone from Blacktivity.
Yo, peace, family. It's your Guala Dizzy Rice.
Yo, this is Remy Wolf.
Hey!
Yo, what's poppin', man? It's I Am Super.
It's J Worthy, a.k.a. P Worthy.
Hey, yo, you already know what time it is. It's your boy, ASAP Yams, a.k.a. Lamborghini, a.k.a. Lil Newport, a.k.a. I got too many motherfucking aliases, but you already know what time it is. Crime and treason in this motherfucker. Shout out to these motherfuckers. They putting it down with that real trill shit.
Yo, it's Camp Blow Out.
Crimes and treasons. That's what we believe in while we blowing the treason.
Crooks out.
Tune in to Vancouver's Rap Radio Show every Tuesday, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9.
That I used to look up to, I can show you why to come up. Yeah, I came up from the gutter to a condo out in Hollywood where the weather's good and the party's always popping up on somebody and dropping off some treat. I mean, I got enough to go around everything for the free, so you ain't gotta smoke on me and my homies down and go to any one town and get this paper. I swear ain't nobody do me no favors. Twisting up the medicine, shitting on my competition. Easy parts forgetting, but the hardest parts to try forgiving niggas for mistaking me or thinking I was the one to wait or thought cause I was young that I'd be dumb. And nigga, what you made's a photographic memory. Now look at my wife, she got a pornographic figure and my autograph is bigger to your nieces and your nephews than yours ever was, not to mention your niggas. You caught them rapping Taylor Gang with us. TMZ cameras, paparazzi taking pictures. I spark up a J and ask them if you wanna take one with us. Made man, ain't nobody make a nigga. About to book a flight to Vegas, trying to take one with us. You niggas too small, dog. Me, I'm thinking bigger. Critics comment on how I'm smoking weed and drinking liquor, or how I was nominated but not the winner. But you should start counting up how much I made this year. Yeah, nigga, I'm up in the air, nigga, and the shit that I got on cost some money to wear, nigga. Owner of the team, I ain't even a player, nigga. 4 hours on, niggas ain't care. Now it's getting dark for you, nigga. Shit ain't even fair, nigga. Blowing hella dank, I mean so much, I think it's growing out my hair. The weed is in the jar, the grinder's over there.
Tune in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Here from the unceded Musqueam, Tsleil-waututh, Squamish Nations. Live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland here from UBC's campus. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and we do this every Tuesday right after Crime and Treasons from 8 to 10, tapping into Off the Beaten Path. And what we like to do here on the show is talk a little bit about, you know, what's going on here in the Lower Mainland, what's going on here in BC. You know, sometimes we touch on what's going on, you know, wherever. We like to listen to some good music. Listen, it's just like a imagine it like me, you, everybody, you know, all people. We're just here on the couch just trying to understand the world and laugh when we can, but also learn a few things. Sometimes I have some guests on here. Last week I had some friends in here. Sometimes I have some people call in, talk a little bit about, you know, what they got going on. You know, this is a community radio show from a community station, and I want to keep you in the loop. So if you'd like to call in, let's say, hey, listen, we're doing gripes. Listen, if you have a gripe, you know, with something that's going on, something that can be fixed. You know, I feel like one of the things that has been plaguing me over, but specifically in the past, like, few days, is trying to always think positively about the things that we could control and kind of, you know, how can we find some small wins? And if you have something, listen, you have something you want to push, a small win, you can call the number at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Listen, because I have some small gripes right now, and I'm sure you've been in this position before. I got some beef. And listen, and we all have a little bit of beef sometimes, but I think my beef is universal with Easy Park. And not only just Easy Park, but kind of with the city of Vancouver and the ways in which they really fucked us out of parking. And I say this as a citizen of our community, and I, someone who understands that this is just not a problem that I have, but a problem that I think that we as a collective have. So for me, this problem started back in November. I took a Evo. I parked it at the Broward Civic Marina where I like to keep my, where I keep my sailboat. And listen, we pay, that is essentially like a public private space. And, you know, we have a little tiny parking lot there in the guest lot. And I parked an Evo there because obviously, you know, I don't have a car yet. I had to make a business decision, and that's where I went. I bought a tiny little boat. And so, listen, so I parked the Evo there in the guest parking lot where it says no parking overnight, and I get a ticket. So I have been battling between Evo and Easy Park for the past 6 months about $103 that Evo owes me for the ticket. And each company has relinquished their accountability, and the city of Vancouver, who sold the parking lot, has left me with nobody to complain to. And I know that I'm not the only person that's in that situation, because every single time I see a parking attendant, they're being argued with. You know, but now the parking attendants are becoming so sneaky. Like, this is how you know when the city and kind of the whoever the parking, I don't know who owns these parking lots, but I do know that they know what they're doing fundamentally is not right, because they have developed sneakier and sneakier ways to try to get money out of you. And this is kind of a symptom of everything that we have. And this is, they disguise the cars. Sometimes the cars are security cars, and then sometimes they are just white Priuses without any type of indication for, you know, type of a company they are. The security guards are not security guards. They are parking enforcement, and same thing with these white cars. Anyways, I believe that I'll talk about this a little bit after the break, because now that I'm back on Instagram, Twitter, X, TikTok, all of these things for this work project, I'm being slowly brought back into, I won't say I never escaped the matrix, but like kind of I'm being brought back into the digital matrix that I was trying to claw myself away from. And what you see is that all of these things, listen, all these things are connected. We really need something that we all can agree upon and slowly start to build on these small changes that we can actually see actionable and build to something bigger, if that makes sense. Because coming back on the social media platforms, everything is so big. Everything makes you feel so powerless. It makes you feel like your voice doesn't matter. But you know what? I'm not saying that you should do it. I wouldn't be mad at you if you took a household item, something heavy, maybe a hammer, and we each went down and we found Listen, not a parking attendant. Do not pull a, do not, listen, those are people just doing their jobs. But on those boxes themselves, we could figure something out. Because I feel like I personally have been sold out. Especially just when there's nobody, there's no accountability. Like, everybody just kind of skirts accountability when it comes to these things. And it's a shame because we live in a place where the outdoors should be at least accessible to everyone. And that requires us to find some of the barriers. And for me, that barrier is paying for parking, because I feel like I shouldn't have to rent a space I already rented with my taxes. When we get back from listening to, you know, I got some really nice music for us. I got some really nice music for us. And so when we get back from listening to some music, I'm going to talk about all of the things that are going on here in the Lower Mainland. Some good, some bad, some happy, some sad. I will try to find a way to weave it all together in a way that only I can. So listen, when we get back, stay tuned, because just a good place to be. Back it off the beaten path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Like I said, if you have a gripe, listen, if you have something that is grinding your gears that you would like to get off your chest, then maybe we can work through. That number is 604-822-2487. Or if this is something you want to work through in public, you can come next Tuesday down to Little Mountain Gallery from 7:30, and you can watch the False Creek Fools, an improv troupe, put on Theraprov, where we talk about our problems together, and maybe, not likely, come to a resolution. So, one of those things is that, one of the things I like to do here, kind of like when I show up to the show, I think about my week. I think about my week I had, and then I think about the week that I want to have. The week that I just had was one of those interesting ones where you feel at the end of it, you're like, wow, I can't believe I made it out that week. But it just kind of speed runs right into the next week. Like I feel like we've tried to learn how to self-care ourselves into something that doesn't exist. You know, we try to self-care, you know, rest and relax and rejuvenate and hot tub and cold tub and hot sauna and ice freezing yourself, and you know, you're just trying to do everything that you can, and you can never feel like you're catching up. You turn yourself into a Tamagotchi, and you know, you start counting how many beans you eat. And it's just never worked for me. What has worked for me, though, is the summertime. And the summertime, for me, is one of those things that, you know, really brightens my mood. I feel like it's kind of crazy how we are almost into May long weekend coming up here. And where did the time go? I felt like January took forever. I feel like we say this every year. January just takes forever. And then it goes February, March, April, May, you know, and now we're in May, and it's May long. And so I was looking forward to this weekend, trying to think that it was going to be a beautiful weather weekend. No, it's going to rain all weekend. It's going to be high 14, rainy. So while maybe this isn't the weekend that you were expecting to have a May long, I think that we can look to some of the forecasts that we have here in Metro Vancouver and just understand that scientists, people a little bit smarter than me, say that the summer forecast is showing above normal temperatures for the summertime, which on one hand is good, but on the second hand, it's like I already smelled fire last year. You know, I mean, last week I think that was Saturday or Sunday. I woke up and I could smell smoke, and I'm like, is it here already? Because that's what I see when I see above normal temperatures. But there's something about the sunshine really does something to cure my, I won't say my seasonal depression, because it's really like there is definitely a correlation between my fucks given about anything and the sunshine. Like when the sun is shining, I care a lot less. And when I say I care a lot less about what I feel like, the stuff that doesn't matter. What I like to do when the sun shines is spend time with the people who make me shine. You know what I mean? And so I feel especially blessed in where we live at, is just that the sun just lasts forever. And you can spend some time outside, more time than you think. Even now, it's starting to get to that period where my body is kind of not really understanding what time is dinner, because it's not light at 9:30, gets dark at 9:45. And it's then when I realize that I've missed dinner and I'm into midnight snack territory. Anyways, moving on. A researcher. So one of the things is I know this. Listen, we're talking about me. You keep coming back to me. But you know what? I'm the one here. And I cleaned my balcony today. So it's one of the things I did. I felt like, you know, felt productive, planting some flowers, cleaned my balcony. You know, it's one of those things that I don't want to say I take a lot of pride into because I just cleaned it this weekend. It had been a mess for about 6 months. And so cleaned it, straightened up, and rearranged it. And as soon as I rearranged it with this intent in mind. I'm like, this year I want to plant more flowers. I usually plant a lot of vegetables and a lot of edible plants, but this year I want to plant more flowers because I want more bees. And I really have high hopes to get at least one butterfly on my balcony this year. So that's kind of like my bar is to get a balcony, to get a butterfly. And one of the hardest things about getting a butterfly is that you can't make these things come, you know, like you are at the mercy of nature trying to create the right conditions that a butterfly would want to be in your life. And, you know, I'm teaching myself a lesson, you know, teaching myself some type of parable that maybe, you know, if I make mistakes big enough, somebody, it will go on my memoir one day, you know. Because if you do everything right, nobody wants to read that book unless like your right is so right. You have to do something pretty bad, and come back from it. That's kind of the only way at this point that it feels like, you know, feels like I'm gonna make it into, you know, to memoir territory. Anyways, and so. This butterfly idea, you know, trying to create the condition to have a butterfly come into my life. And so I cleaned my balcony, straightened it up, shuffled some things around, moved some things around. I even cleaned the railing. And today I had a crow friend come and inspect my railing. Come, you know, tink, 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 clickety clack, you know, go up and down my railing. I never get crows on my balcony. So this was the first time coming in, check, 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 you know, jump down, walk around, inspect it, looked at me, gave me a head nod, and flew off. And I just thought to myself, like, wow, I can't believe that crow took notice. I'm a little flattered. And so there is a researcher who's just recently shared some insights between the relationship between crows and Vancouverites. And so this is not the first crow friend that I've ever had. So I understand that this is a thing. But Langara College professor Dr. Laura Adams wanted to know more about the relationship between two different types of Vancouverites, which is people who like crows and people who think they're a menace. And so one of the things that she learned is that, you know, crows are popular and a symbol of Vancouver, kind of like it is something that feels like more than just another bird. And the relationship that people have with them here is special. And the crows, they kind of pick out friends and they also pick out the enemies because I've been buzzed by crows. And, you know, I'm thinking that maybe as we develop a friendship, maybe me, you, people listening to the show, we can help maybe find a name for this crow, a name that we should call him, you know, if he or she keeps coming back. But when we come back, we're going to talk about what you would do if you won $80 million. And if you did win $80 million and you're listening to this show right now, might I interest you in a few ideas when we come back?
Maybe I just feel the way. Just streaming.
shit to that anymore. I really hate it when you let me down. I really saved it in my body. How can I change the seasons when they're just now forming? How can I change the fabric of a dead end story? I'm just a person and the breaking has no glory. I'm just a person on this cold December morning. And I get quiet, I get quiet around you now. And that's so violent to be a distant thing you live without. I'd hate to have to do this alone. It's a sobering thought. Hey, I'd really like you to hold me, hold me. Do you dream about me now? I wake up hoping that we're back at your house. I really hate the way I let you down. You make me nervous, so I shut off and I get quiet. I get quiet around you now. And that's so violent to be a distant thing you live without. I
back at All the Bean Path here on 101.9CITR.ca. You know, listen, if you have ever thought about what you would do with $80 million, because I know I have. Kind of like thinking about, so first off, I don't know if you know, but there was an $80 million lottery draw here, in BC, from BCLC, and, somebody won, the lottery tickets. The lottery ticket was bought on May 9th. The winning numbers were 6, 10, 16, 17, 30, 38, 48. The odds to win the Lotto Max were 1 in 33 million, but basically the big winner has 52 weeks to claim the prize. The person has not got it yet. So listen, if you were like, maybe I should check my ticket, and you check your ticket right now and you're screaming because you won the Lotto Max, listen, obviously you're not obligated to give, but what you should do is, you know, you should give to CITR, because CITR does so much great programming. Listen, you missed the fun drive, but you can give and you can donate all the time to all of the things that CITR does. You know, hosts anarchist book fairs, provides a space for people in the community to come share their voice, to complain about parking and the real things that this community needs. And the real things we can actually have an impact on and have a material impact on, where you can actually feel the change. Like, you can see the parking meters go down. If you have an $80 million ticket and that you want to be a part of something spectacular and important and really crucial to the community as much as parking is, and if you, or maybe you have something else more you're more passionate about, you know, you can call in and tell us what you were going to do with the $80 million. But if what I would do what I would do with $80 million if I, like, I always, I feel like the what would you do if you hit the lottery is part of the entertainment of the lottery. Like, I find that, like, when I don't buy a ticket, which I didn't buy at this time because obviously, like, if I probably won a lottery, this is probably the only organized thing that I would do. I would 100% keep doing a radio show, you know, just showing up here every Tuesday because it's about the community, right? You know, trying to figure out ways. What can you do with the $80 million? How can you give it back? You know, might buy a small condo because what else are you going to buy with $80 million here in Vancouver? $80 million is just like, for me, I find that, like, my number for, like, what I would do to quit life is so much lower than $80 million that, like, I don't even, I have a hard time just kind of even thinking about how do you spend, like, $60 million of that. You know, like, I find that, like, $20 million would probably be perfect amount to settle my debts and settle my family's debts, and then probably, like, I would, that's probably, I mean, that's kind of the first thing I would do. I would just, everybody in my family would just be debt free, you know? And then all of the people who I liked, like, you would know that I didn't really fuck with you because you still had debts, you know? It would just be like, damn, Issa really didn't fuck with me like that. Like, he, and I'd be like, hey, I got a long memory, you know? And not a vengeful one, not a judgmental memory, but just a long one, you know, just a long one. And I don't know, you know, just I wouldn't even live like a leisurely life, but I wouldn't be one of those reckless, like, you know, it's obviously not a billion, you know, you're not going to, I'm not going to take $200,000 and piss it away on a submarine to see the Titanic, you know, I'd want to be like one of those. I'd probably start a company just so that I could go undercover boss. Like, I would start, like, a restaurant or a bar or, I don't know, maybe like a FedEx packing, a shipping, you know, like one of those shipping stores where you can come and pick up your FedEx packages, and then maybe I'd work there some days and not work there. And, you know, I can imagine myself just, like, sailing and kind of forgetting about the business, and then I would love my employees to call an undercover boss and be like, hey, you know, our working conditions are rough, and, you know, our boss doesn't really understand how hard it is, and he just sends emails from his boat just talking about, you know, and then I would love to be able to go on there and, you know, be working with the people, and, you know, people complaining, and I'm just like, you know what, I could change these people's lives, you know. And hopefully I would think about these things before I started a business, but I'm, you know, this is years from now, and I can, go on undercover. But that's kind of like what I would love to do. Cause then I was just like, okay, I can make a change. I can do this, you know, then maybe I would have enough. That would be like the catalyst I needed to then write this memoir book where I can talk about creating the environment where the butterflies come back. And people want to hear it because they're like, wow, this is the lottery winner that didn't go broke. Anyways, if you won the lottery, I mean, the smart thing to do is if you win $80 million, if you manage your money with some type of financial advisor, you could have like $5 million a year for the rest of your life. It's like an infinite money cheat. Like, that's kind of the thing where I feel like rich people have, they kind of got us all in a trick bag because they don't tell you that. They're just making money, a few million dollars every year, not even thinking about, well, do they got to go to work for it? You know, do they got to do this? No, they just show up. They just wake up, money. That's why there should be an inheritance tax, just because if I don't have that money, neither should you. And if your dead relative has died, but they can't spend it. Anyways, stop being lazy. Go make your own money, you know? Anyways, one thing that I saw, which was not Sorry, guys. I have, so one thing you guys don't know, because obviously this is radio, you can't see my face, is that I have a problem. I have a problem that cannot easily be solved, and it rears its head every few weeks, where I always have one long nose hair, honestly, since I turned like 33, that just, it just, for some reason, it just sprouts, and it just really tickles me, and I can't think about anything else, and that's what the position I'm in, because I wanted to talk about, you know, I saw that ex-mayor Gregor Robertson is trying to tackle the housing crisis as a federal minister, and my thought is, don't any of these politicians just go and get a regular job? Like, I've never heard of a politician, like, after you lose your political office, does anybody just go and get a regular job anymore? You know, just kind of go and be a researcher at, you know, maybe a small agency, you know, market research agency, or maybe they just go and, you know, they're like, you know what, maybe I need to learn some more people skills, or maybe I need to feed my family. And they just go work at a restaurant or something, you know, work at a, they always seem to fall into another kind of government bureaucracy where it's like, Gregor, if you couldn't fix the housing crisis as Vancouver mayor, you couldn't even get fucking close. Why would you be elected to federal minister of housing for BC? Like, I don't even know any of his political stances or anything like that. I just know that when he was mayor, housing was a problem. Ken Sims the mayor now, housing is a problem. I forgot who was the mayor in between, but housing still a problem. And not only has housing been a problem, now we can't even park. So it's whatever they're doing is not working. And I find that when I see that these people just go and get other jobs in government, it makes me lose faith in government in general. And I already don't hold government in such a high regard. So I just think that, like, in between political offices, these people should be getting regular ass jobs, and not like jobs as lobbying for some, for some type of industrial company or organization. Like, I want somebody to be in my Reddit feed, you know, in the On Guard for Thee or in one of these other Vancouver Reddit themes, and just be like, you know who just applied to work at the branch for Van City on Commercial Drive? You're never going to believe it. Gregor Robertson. Yeah, I went in there and, you know, needed some help, you know, trying to understand my financial investments. And Gregor, he was being trained as a new teller or something like that. You know, just I would love to see one of those where it's like, man, these are regular people, just got regular jobs, you know. But that's not the case. They always seem to just kind of fall right up. And so I'm going to talk about this really quickly, because on here we always talk about, you know, animals fighting back and animals doing, just doing what they can so that they don't let the human hegemony just, you know, punish them and pummel them into extinction. Because we want to know that not only can humans do that to people, but they would do that to animals as well. And you know, so I want to pay respect, because this is the second dead gray whale in less than a week that has washed up on the beaches of Tofino. And considering that the population of gray whales is already at risk, it's that these whales are, you know, it's always problematic when we find one that's dead, because not only do we not know what happened, it's one of those things where we never know what happened, because we don't even know how whales fuck. So it's let alone do we know how they die. So it's quite sad. And in that same vein, there's a BC ostrich farm which is being told that they need to cull nearly 400 birds who have tested positive for avian flu. And while the owners say that the birds do not pose wider risk, no, we just can't risk it. My question is, I didn't know we had ostrich farms here in Vancouver. Like, I don't know. Like, I understand, you know, why we have egg farms. You know, I understand why we have chicken farms, because I eat chicken eggs. I eat chicken as well. Never known anybody to eat an ostrich. Never known anyone to eat an ostrich egg. Never seen anyone ride an ostrich. Never heard of anyone saying they wanted to go to the ostrich zoo. These people just have 400 ostriches for no reason. You know what I would love, though? Oh, my God. Before we kill these ostriches, we need to really find out if there's an ostrich race. Because while I love going to the horse, I love going to Hastings, betting on the horse races, if they had an ostrich race, ooh-wee, they could have my money. I would be there every week to watch those damn birds run. That would be amazing. That would be amazing. But unfortunately, these birds are on their last legs. And, you know, what you going to do? But when we come back, listen, I got some good music. We come back and listen, I got some funny stories for us. I got, when I say some funny stories, I got a few funny stories. And, listen, this is Japanese Breakfast, a song I've never heard. And a song we might complain about together. But you know what? It was a song I wanted to listen to. We haven't got to it, so maybe it'll be good, you know? Maybe we'll see. And we'll find out in real time.
Certainly be
that one. But you know what? It was all right. It was all right. That was Japanese breakfast with picture window, you know? I don't know, you know? Anyways, so we got a few minutes left. One of the things is there are a few things on which that I think are interesting. There's a lot of things going on in the news, so things I'm not going to touch on, but I think that you might want to know. So there has been appointment of a new Downtown East Side czar, Michael Bryant, who has basically David Eby's first priorities when he became the leader of the BCNDP was to tackle poverty, mental health, and addictions in Downtown East Side. And after more than 2 years, a former Ontario General Attorney General, head of Legal Aid BC, has been appointed to help fix the issues once described as Canada's poorest postal code. Michael Bryant's role as a consultant is raising questions. He was initially installed in the position in February with little public announcement, with a six-month contract worth $150,000 plus an allowance of $25,000 in expenses. Now, one of the things that I find to be interesting, also troubling, is that, like, I don't know shit about Michael Bryant. I do know that $150,000 is a lot for a six-month salary when your job is to be the czar and to fix the Downtown East Side, and you parachute in from Ontario, wherever the hell that Michael Bryant is from, how can you even learn enough about the community in the Downtown East Side in 6 months, let alone have it 6 months as a consultant to fix it for $150,000? That just seems crazy, because I know people personally who work in the Downtown East Side every week, every day down there. Working with the people who make barely what this person is getting as an expense account. Insane. Like, one of the things that I always try to figure out is, like, how do I get one of these jobs? You know, how do you get one of these jobs where it's just like, oh yeah, you know. Anyways. So that's one thing you might want to know. The second thing you might want to know, in Nelson, BC, the owner of Yaherb Culture Cafe in the West Kootenays is trying to appeal a decision that rejected its first of a kind weed smoking patio. And so the city council rejected the application. And my thing is just like, why? We talked about this a few weeks ago on the 420 show, but just like, why are you fighting this, city council? What's the purpose? Like, what's the purpose of fighting a weed smoking patio? The people who don't want to smoke weed on the patio won't go there. And who cares? Who cares? Like, that's my thing, is just that, like, who cares? And it gets rejected. Like, that's where I find that times where I think that, like, kind of government is holding us back. Cause it's like, nobody actually cares if you can smoke weed on this patio or not. And if you just pass it through, it would just go through. Nobody's even thinking about it. And I don't think that there's a reason good enough. I used to think that, like, maybe these people have a good reason, but when you start to see the types of people who run for city council, the types of people who go to these city council meetings, and you start to think about the people in your everyday life who might do that. Listen, they're not the type of people who are trying to get parking removed from your neighborhood, paid parking removed from your neighborhood. So these are the types of people who not only accept but also look for opportunities to sell increasingly more of the land in which they do not own, and neither do you, but we all rent it and we all are collective owners. And what they prove is that, no, you are not an owner, you rent it. And those are the types of people who don't want, who don't want you to be great. Not me, though. Listen, you hear Issa Braithwaite running for city council. Listen, I got you talking about the real problems. I thought it was interesting that a CBC article is defining what a situationship is, because I feel like I haven't heard this. There's so many other words now for, like, as it terms to relationships and genders and just kind of how we have decided to label people and the ways in which they engage with each other, so much that I feel like that one just kind of went by the wayside. Listen, next week we're going to talk about the Afrikaners who have arrived in the United States of America, and kind of I have some educated thoughts about that, some deep Southern thoughts, and some research that I would love to bring. But one of the last things that I'd like to talk about is Chris Pelkey was someone who was murdered, and his family used an AI video of him forgiving his killer in court, and the judge allowed that to be used in the court case, bringing the jury and people in his family to tears and pushing to bring a level of toughness to the court case, which I listen, now that we're using AI people in court, what is the line? Where's the line, and how have we not crossed it already? And that's something that I want you to think about as we kind of go into the week. Where's the line? How have we not crossed it already? How can we make sure this never happens again? But hey, we do this every week, 10 to 11, off the beaten path. I'm your host, Easton Arian. Listen, next week, I won't be here because I'll be performing improv, Theraprov, 7:30, Little Mountain Gallery. You should come. Bring a friend. Come tell them that you heard about the show on Off the Beaten Path, and we'll give you $4 off of beer. And the beer costs $12. So the beers will be $8. So that's all I got for you. Until next week, I'm out.